Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The gospel reading for this evening and the basis for our meditation from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for today and the hope and promise that we have that Jesus sinners does receive, that you seek and you find and you restore. We thank you, Father, for this and ask that you would continue to use us in this process of pointing people to the hope in Jesus. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a friend of mine. He's a pastor and he has been a mentor for me for all of my ministry. And as I got to know him, I recognized something about this pastor that I had not seen as clearly in other people. It didn't take long, and I gravitated toward him, and I watched him, what he did in ministry. And then one day he said this. He said, "There's this saying that I use, and I've kind of modeled my ministry after it. People are important. Paperwork, not so much." And it really shows what he does in his ministry. I was with him, and we were at a meeting a while back. And as everybody there at the meeting, we were getting ready for lunch and we were leaving to go to the restaurant, and my friend did not come along. I asked him if he was coming for lunch and he said no. And I asked why. And he said, "Well, the lady that's here watching this place isn't going to go with us." And he said, "I'm just going to stay and visit with her. People are important. Paperwork, not so much." He stayed and he visited with her, and nothing earth-shaking that we know of came from that, except that she knew that she was loved and that he cared for her, and he stayed and he visited with her that day. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus is really telling us that same thing. People are important. Paperwork, classifications, categories, not so much. Jesus has the Pharisees breathing down his neck. And the Pharisees, if you remember, are a group of people who are concerned with keeping the law. And not only concerned with that, but sure that they can do it. And anyone who hangs around with those people probably can't keep the law. Jesus knows this of the Pharisees, so he tells them this parable to help them to see that people are important. Paperwork, classifications, categories, not so much. But we see it right away in the gospel reading for today. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And St. Luke points us out right away where the categories and where the classifications are. Tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes and Jesus and people. And just what is the most important here? And as Jesus tells the parable to the Pharisees, he knows very clearly that they are already caught in discrimination. The Pharisees are already looking at things through their religious privileged eyes. People are not important to the Pharisees. Status, keeping the law, self-justification, all of that is what's important to them. They look good because of what they do, not the people that are in their lives. So Jesus tells three stories. The two stories we'll hear tonight. The third story, which is the story of the loving father, we'll take up on Sunday morning. Jesus has them gathered there, speaking specifically to the Pharisees, and he says, "Which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost?" It seems like an obvious question. Would you go after a sheep that's not there? Well, what Jesus didn't say and what the Pharisees maybe were thinking was, well, we'd have to do a cost analysis and see if it's really justifiable to go after one sheep. After all, we have to leave the 99, and maybe that would cause overtime on the shepherd's part, and then it wouldn't play out in the economics, so we'll have to do an analysis first. Jesus doesn't go there. Jesus says, what man of you wouldn't do this? If we're seeing people as important, then of course we would. If you're a shepherd and you count 99 and there is not 100, you would go look. You would go find the one that is not there. The flock of 100 is not important because it has 100 sheep in it. The flock is important because it has 100 important sheep. Each one important. Each one worth going after. Each one worth spending time and bringing back and protecting. And when the shepherd finds the sheep, oh, what a joy. He doesn't even drive the sheep back to the pen. He doesn't take the staff and beat the sheep up on the way back to the pen so he won't do it again. He picks the sheep up in the midst of his disobedience, puts it on his shoulders, parades it back to town, and celebrates that the lost has been found. The sheep is back. Lambs are important. Paperwork? Categories? Not as much. Jesus goes on and he tells a second story to everyone that's there. A story of a woman who's lost a coin in her house. She has 10, she's counted, now only 9, nothing there. So she lights the lamp, she cleans the house, everything is moved, everything is upset, and there finally she finds it. And what does she do? She rejoices over the coin that's been found. She rejoices and she invites her friends over and they celebrate, probably spending more than the coin was worth. But the point is, the lost has been found and she's joyful because what was once missing is now been brought back. Jesus makes the point in both of these, reminding us that there is great celebration when the lost is found. Great celebration when we see people that are not where they need to be and they are brought back and they are restored. In the gospel reading for today, with these two stories, Jesus brings us back to the heart of what salvation is about. People are important. Paperwork, categories, classifications, not so much. Jesus is all about this, getting to know people, restoring people, calling people by name, even those that don't fit into the classification of Christian yet. Jesus is there, and there's a man, a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus at night, wanting to know about who Jesus is and what he's doing. His name was Nicodemus. And Jesus walked him through what it means to be born again, to be born with the Spirit, so that he understood, so that Nicodemus would understand that the gospel of Jesus is forgiveness of sins, not trying to keep the law artificially. Jesus goes out and he's walking one day and he sees this wee little man named Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, which is really a nice formal way of saying a chief crook. And he sees him and he says to Nicodemus, I'm going to your house today, kind of inviting himself into Nicodemus' world, into Zacchaeus' world. And that night, by hearing Jesus, because faith comes from hearing the word, Nicodemus realizes what he's done wrong. Nicodemus restored, not only to his brothers and sisters whom he has defrauded, but Nicodemus now seeing people as important. Zacchaeus receiving forgiveness and faith. There's no better story for this seeing people as important as the thief on the cross. Jesus, hours, maybe even minutes away from his own death, and the man next to him who has no name and who only has three lines in all of the scriptures says, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus doesn't get a job description from him. He doesn't get a resume of what he's done and what he hasn't done. He doesn't look at his life and say, well, you maybe should work harder on these areas and then we'll talk. Jesus gives him promise and hope. Today, you will be with me in paradise. People are important. Classifications and categories and paperwork, not so much. Jesus draws us to the heart of this gospel reading so that we know clearly that he seeks the lost. He seeks all of those who don't fit into the clean categories that everyone else might have. You see, Jesus isn't necessarily concerned with Lutherans only preaching to Lutherans. Jesus is concerned with the message of Christ being preached to a lost and dying world, reaching into the world of everyone you know so that they see Jesus clearly. Quite a number of years ago now, I was probably about 10 years old, and we were at the state fair in Huron. My sister, 3 years younger than me, was with me, and I was given the responsibility not to lose your sister. And I didn't like my sister, so losing her would have been a great joy for me. But I did take the task seriously, and at that point, you could let your 10-year-old loose at the state fair without worrying. And the crowd was busy that day, and my sister was with me, and we were doing everything, and she was following along, and I suddenly turned around, and she was not there. And I could not find her anywhere. I looked everywhere, and she was not there. And I panicked because of the fact that she wasn't there and I didn't know where she was. She was lost. It wasn't long. It felt like hours, but it really wasn't that long. And I heard an announcement over the loudspeaker that said, there is a lost little girl in the office at the state fair. Please come and find her. And I knew who it was. I went and I walked in, and here is my sister sitting on the chair, crying, waiting, wanting to be found. And I walked in, and my sister and I, who did not get along very well, she beamed with a smile because she was found. Our Savior promises us that he seeks the lost always. He is the one looking for us. He is the one seeking us out when we are lost, sometimes in simply the busyness of the world, sometimes because we don't want to be found. And our Savior continues to seek us. And he finds us through the preaching of his word, through the gospel. He reaches into our world and he gives us hope and promise. He finds us in our brokenness and heals us and restores us. And we all need that. This afternoon I was at a pastor's committal service. And this pastor had been a faithful proclaimer of Jesus Christ for 25 years. His wife said that she was the second love of his life, which gives you an idea of what his first love was. And as she was sitting there crying because her husband was now being buried, I shared with her the good news that her husband was now with Jesus, because Jesus had found him. Even in the midst of knowing this and living in this Christian faith all of her life, she needed to hear that good news. She needed to be reassured, just like you and I need to be reassured. Our Savior seeks us out in our brokenness, seeks us out in our disappointments, seeks us out in our scared, fearful days, and reminds us that we are his dear children, and that he loves us. Jesus died on the cross for us. This seeking of the lamb, this seeking of the coin, this seeking of the lost son that Jesus preaches about is our story. You could put your name in there. And he has found you through his gospel, through your baptism. Our Lord has found you, he has restored you, and he has claimed you as his own. And when we see in the gospel reading, we hear these words: just so, when he finds us in our lost stuff and restores us, I tell you, there will be joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy when you were found. Joy for us being found by Jesus, who promises us. People are important. Paperwork, categories, classifications, not so much. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.